Hey, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the Old Testament this morning in the book of Exodus, second book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. And again, if you are able to be here with us on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, Brother Dave is going to bring the teaching on Wednesday night. We're looking forward to that. We'll have some worship, and it'll just be a great time of getting together and fellowshipping and worshiping together. Exodus chapter 8, I'm going to start in verse number 1 and then read 25 through 32. And the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me.'" Verse number 25, "Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, 'Go sacrifice to your God in the land.' And Moses said, 'It is not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he has commanded us.' So Pharaoh said, 'I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me.' Then Moses said, 'Indeed, I am going out from you, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart tomorrow from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. But let Pharaoh not deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord.' So Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. He removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained, but Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go." You probably remember there was an old game show on TV. It debuted in 1963. People would show up in crazy costumes, and they would try to pick a prize behind a door or a curtain or a box. And once they won that merchandise, then they had this opportunity to trade it in for some unknown thing, maybe. The host would offer, "Okay, you can trade this thing that you have here for something over here on door number 1 or curtain number 2 or box number 3. You had that opportunity, and the show was popular because people would trade. They'd take what they had and give it away. And a lot of times they would get something better. They might trade a toaster for a new car. But a lot of times they traded a toaster for what they called a zonk. They got nothing. They might leave with something really, really worthless. But that show succeeded because there was always someone who was willing to make a deal. And you probably remember that show, Monty Hall, Let's Make a Deal. And you could probably say right now, "Hey, Ron, thanks for taking us down memory lane. Really appreciate it." But what does that have to do with Exodus chapter 8? Well, the answer is pretty simple. You see, the Lord sent a man named Moses down to a place called Egypt to speak to a king called Pharaoh. Pharaoh had enslaved the people of God, the children of Israel, and God wanted Pharaoh to let them go. That's where that song, I'm sure, came from, "Let My People Go." That deep voice, "Let my people," I'm not going to sing anymore, but that's okay. You see, when Pharaoh refused to let the people go, God sent awful plagues, 10 awful plagues upon the people there, devastating plagues. And during the course of these plagues, Pharaoh offered to let God's people go. But he wanted them to go on Pharaoh's terms. You see, 4 times he offered to let them leave. And each time there was an attached condition to their compromise for leaving. He was saying to Moses, "Hey, no, Moses, I know God sent to let his people go. Let his people go, and I will at first, but let's make a deal." He wanted Moses and Israel to trade that which God had promised. You see, for something much less. Oh, now, you're probably wondering again, so what in the world does this have to do with me? What does this have to do with us? Here's an old story about Moses and Pharaoh and letting my people go. What in the world does that have to do with me? How can I use this in my everyday life? I'm going to be out there in the world tomorrow. How can I use this as I'm walking out in the world this week? And again, the answer is pretty simple. Because you see, in the Bible, there are different types of people, different types of places, different symbols. And we see here that Pharaoh is a classic type of Satan. And we see Egypt is a type of the world, and Israel is a type of the church, or those who are being saved by grace. So when the Lord sent the Spirit of God to convict us and to save us, he called us to leave the world. He called us to leave the world and our old master, Satan, behind. Where do we get that? 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Has that new life begun in you this morning? If you're listening on the internet, have that new life started in you this morning? You know, it sounds easy, but every time we try to make a break with Satan, every time we try to make a break with the world, we're going to find out that Satan in the world wants to make that deal with us, wants to make that deal, but there are no upgrades from Satan or the world. Just remember that. There's only zonks. That's all there is. You see, God wants to lead you to a life that is Spirit-filled and blessed. Are you living that life this morning? Are you walking in His will? You see, Satan wants you to trade the blessings of God for the rubbish of this world. That's what he wants. He wants you to trade everything that the Lord wants you to do for the rubbish that's inside the world today. He'll offer you compromises to lead you astray. And we see, sadly, so many people today, so many believers, trading it in, not following the Lord's will. So I want to point out this morning four offers that Pharaoh made to Moses and Israel. And it's a clear picture of the compromises that Satan will offer to trap each one of us today. The devil's always looking for somebody to make a deal. He's always looking. He's looking for those that are going to trade gold for stones and glory for sorrow. He's always looking. Deal number one that Pharaoh wanted to make to Moses. Deal number one, why don't you just sacrifice here? Why don't you just sacrifice here? We see that in verses 25 through 27. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not right for us to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, then will they not stone us? We'll go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he will command us. You see, Pharaoh is saying, Moses, I have a deal for you. Let's make a deal. You can serve your God, but you don't have to leave Egypt to do it. Just do it right here. Serve the Lord right here where you're at. You see, that's the same deal that's offered to many believers by Satan. Satan comes by and says, listen, Christian, let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. Go ahead and be that Christian. Oh, go ahead if you want to, but come on, don't change your lifestyle. You don't have to change your lifestyle. You can be saved and just be like everybody else. But you see, Moses refused Pharaoh's deal for two reasons. Reason number one, their sacrifices would have offended the Egyptians. We see that in verse number 26. The Egyptians considered cattle to be what? Sacred animals. The bull represented their god Apis. And the cow represented their goddess Hathor. And if the Israelites had sacrificed those animals in Egypt to their god, to Jehovah, there would have been rioting and violence. The Egyptians would have never understood the worship of the Israelites. Never would have understood it if they had stayed there to do what Pharaoh wanted. And you see, nothing has changed. Oh, you see, nothing has changed at all in the world today. The world can't possibly understand the worship of a spirit-filled Christian. Oh, you know, we're asked all the time, why in the world do you go to church so often? Come on, once a month, once a quarter. Why do you have to go twice a week? Why do you have to read the Bible so much? That old, you've read that thing through 15 times. Why are you keep reading it? Why do you have to give your tithe to the church? Why is that necessary? Why live for Jesus every day? You see, it's no different than what Pharaoh wanted Moses and the Egyptians and the Israelites to do. He wanted them to stay there and keep. Why do you have to go so far away? But you see, to the unbeliever, the cross, it's a symbol of scandal and foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. Amen. You see, believers to worship in God's spirit and truth, we're going to face problems in the world. What's the favorite buzzword of the world today? One of them is tolerance. Tolerance is a favorite buzzword that's out there. Oh, we're supposed to accept people as they are and affirm their right to be who they are. We're not supposed to be narrow-minded and intolerant. However, the message of the cross, please remember this, the message of the cross is not a message of tolerance. It is a divisive message that the world does not want to hear. Please remember that because that's very important. Satan will tell you that you can have Jesus and the world too. It doesn't work that way. Satan is a liar. You'll either embrace Jesus and have him alone, or you'll embrace the world. You can't have it both ways. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. If you're really living for Jesus, your commitment to Jesus will be offensive to the world. Please remember that. If you're living for Jesus, if you're walking in his will, if you're doing what he's asking to you, it's going to be offensive to the world. And if you're committed to the world, well, your lifestyle is offensive to Jesus. Reason number one, the sacrifices would have offended the Egyptians. But reason number two was it wasn't what God had commanded. It wasn't what God had commanded Moses to do. The Lord told Moses to go to Egypt and do what? To bring his people out. We see that in Exodus 3:10. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt. Anything less would have been a compromise, you see, to the commands of the Lord. It would have been a compromise. God wants us to separate ourselves from the sinful, wicked world. 2 Corinthians 6:17, therefore come out from amongst unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things and I will welcome you. Amen. It's pretty clear. It's clear what the Lord is asking us to do. You see, when God's people, a believer, continues to walk in the world, it says some things about how they see God. When a believer continues to walk in the world, it says some things about how they see God. Number one, it says, they say that God is not to be obeyed. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, but Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Are we obedient to what God is asking us to do? Are we obedient to the will, his will in our life? Oh, I will tell you that when my wife and I were at Calvary Fort Lauderdale, it was so easy. Row number 6, chairs 1 and 2, 8 o'clock service, done by 9:30, having coffee, home for the pregame show. It was simple. But you see, God called us out. That wasn't the will for us at that time. What's God's will for you in your life? If you're a believer and continue to walk in the world, it says God is no better than any other God. Matthew 22, 36 and 38. Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. It also says God will save us, but we can do as we please. If we're a Christian but walking in the world, we're saying that we can do as we please. Colossians 3, 5. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of the world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. That's a heavy verse. It's a heavy verse. But you see, if there's a believer that's walking in the world, it says that belonging to God makes no difference in the life of a believer. 1 Corinthians 5:17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life's gone. A new life has begun. You see, the fact is you can't have God in the world too. It doesn't work that way. Satan will offer you that deal if you'll take it. Please don't fall for his tricks. Don't fall for him. If Israel, you see, think about this. If Israel had taken that deal behind curtain number one, hey, just stay here and worship here, guess what? They would have never gotten to the promised land if they had taken that deal. You know, and if we take that deal, well, we can forget about having victory and power and having the glory of God in our life. Deal number one was, why don't you just sacrifice here? But you see, Moses didn't take that, so Pharaoh came up with curtain number two, deal number two. It says, why don't you just stay close by? And we see that in verse number 28. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me. What is Pharaoh saying? Well, he says, Pharaoh's saying to Moses, okay, you didn't take my first deal, here's my second deal. This is the deal you're going to take. If your people must separate, then don't go too far away. Don't go too far away. And again, that's a deal that Satan will try to make with us. He'll say, go ahead and be a Christian. Oh, go ahead and be a Christian, but hey, don't take it too far. Don't be a fanatic. You see, that's the deal that's offered to so many believers by Satan. Don't go too far with it. But you see, here's the truth. This deal, Satan will give you as much rope as you want, as long as you hang on to the rope. He'll give you whatever you want. Neither he nor the world cares if you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to be satisfied or not. We got some weird sounds coming up out of here. I don't know what it is, but it's not me. I blame it on the team upstairs. They'll probably turn me off now because I insulted them up there. So, you know. As long as you're on that rope, you see, Satan will just keep giving you rope. You see, a sold-out Christian is an abomination to the world. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, we're not really suffering persecution in this world. Right now, we aren't. Maybe it's just a minor extent. But there's Christians around the world that are suffering from extreme persecution. The sold-out Christian is a threat to Satan. You know, Satan wants us to live our lives like the world around us. He'll say, be saved, but hey, don't stand out too much. Try not to be too different from the world around you. Hey, you go to church on Sunday morning if you have to, but hey, you don't have to go any more than that. Come on. Be saved if you want to, but for heaven's sakes, don't talk about Jesus at work or school. Don't do that. And then don't dress any differently than the world. And then listen to the same music as the world. Do the same things. Have Jesus if you want. But listen, hey, please don't take this thing to extremes. That's what Satan is trying to tell the believer. And that's worlds away from what the Lord wants for our lives. He wants us to be so radically different from the world. Radically different from the world around us. So different that there'll be no confusion. No confusion on where we stand. He wants us to be a witness for him and for his glory. So what am I saying? If you're saved, you need to get as far away from the world as you can. Now, we're going to live in the world. I know that. We all live in the world. We all work in the world. We travel in the world. We do everything that we have to do. But that doesn't mean we need to be part of the world. We can be out there and be that testimony for Jesus and share our testimony and take those opportunities that the Lord gives us to just speak about him. Isn't it interesting that Satan has tried to do the same thing to the church? Think about that. He'll tell churches that they need to be more seeker-friendly. They need to soften our message. Lose our power. Make sure that everyone feels at home. Now, our slogan is Calvary Chapel Cornerstone Church, a church that you can call home. What do we mean by that? It's a place that you can come and worship and learn because we're teaching through the Bible that you're loved here. It's a place that you can come to get fed. You see, that's why it's so important to understand that the Calvary Chapel way is book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, teaching right through the Bible, not skipping over the hard stuff. Is there hard stuff in the Bible? Absolutely. But we have to teach it anyways. We're not to teach cafeteria style. What is that? Well, I'll have some of that to teach and some of that, but that over there looks pretty hard. We're going to leave that alone, and we'll take some of this over here, but not that there. You see, we're not called to do that. We're called to teach through the Bible, and that's what we do. Deal number two, why don't you just stay close by? So Moses didn't take that deal, and Pharaoh came back with deal number three. Why don't you just split your families? And for this deal, we need to flip over to Exodus 10, verse number 7. Exodus 10, verse number 7. Pharaoh's officials now came to Pharaoh and appealed to him, "How long will you let this man hold us hostage? Let the men go to worship their Lord, their God. Don't you realize that Egypt lies in ruins?" So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. "All right," he told them, "go and worship the Lord your God, but who exactly will be going with you?" Moses replied, "We will all go, young and old, our sons and daughters, our flocks and our herds. We must all join together in celebrating a festival to the Lord." Pharaoh retorted, "The Lord will certainly need to be with you if I let you take your little ones. I can see through your evil plan. Never, only the men may go and worship the Lord, since that is what you requested." And Pharaoh threw them out of the palace. So what happened? Pharaoh says, "Hey, Moses, let's make a deal. Deal number three, you can take the men and go serve God, but hey, leave the rest of your family here. You don't need to take them." And then Satan will play that same trick with us. He'll say, "Let's make a deal. If you want to live for God, just go ahead. But certainly don't try to change those people around you. Just leave them alone. Just leave the rest of the family out of it." I don't know if you know it or not, but Satan wants your family. If you're here this morning, Satan wants your family. If you're listening on the internet this morning, Satan wants your family. He wants to devastate it, destroy it, and doom it to hell. That's what he wants. He does not want you to have a godly Christian home. And by that same token, Satan does not want husbands and wives to get along. He doesn't want them to get along. Men, he wants to have men cast that wandering eye towards another woman, and ladies, for you to desire another man. He wants to drive that wedge between the two of you, causing you to fight one another as enemies, instead of being friends and partners. You see, that's what Satan wants in the families. He wants to divide us. parents and not TV should be raising their kids, training up their kids, training up their children. We're to tell them certain things are just plain wrong. And the wrong things that are off limits, we are to decide what will happen in our house. My daughter-in-law is a first grade teacher. Some of the things that she tells us is just mind-boggling of what teachers are expected to do. That's not the way the Lord wants it. The Lord wants parents to bring their families up. Parents should set the standards, not the kids. Children should be taught the word and salvation and obedience. And men, we need to take the lead in our homes. We need to lead our families far from this world and into that path of righteousness. God has placed us men as head of the household. That's Ephesians 5:23. That's not the gospel of Ron. That's the gospel of Ephesians 5:23. We are to be the head of the family. You have a responsibility to set the example. I have a responsibility to set the example. You see, it's not our wives' responsibility to make sure the family gets off to church every day. It's the man's responsibility, the head of the household. It's our responsibility to lead the family and that home in the right way. It's an awesome responsibility, but it's a responsibility that we need to take seriously. And there's a lot of families out there that don't have God-fearing spouses, and I understand that. And all I can say is do the best you can do to train up your kids, to live out Jesus in front of them. And I believe that God will bless your effort. I really do. The Bible calls on us to live our best for Him. Deal number three was, why don't you just split your families? Deal number four, since Moses didn't take that deal, Pharaoh came back with deal number four. He says, why don't you just surrender your possessions? Exodus 10, 24 through 26. Finally, Pharaoh called for Moses. Go and worship the Lord, he said. But leave your flocks and your herds here. You may even take your little ones with you. No, Moses said, you must provide us with the animals for sacrifices and burnt offerings to the Lord our God. All our livestock must go with us too. Not a hoof can be left behind. We must choose our sacrifices for the Lord our God from amongst those animals. And we don't know how we are to worship the Lord until we get there. You see, the final deal for Moses is, if you must serve God, then go ahead. But certainly leave all your stuff behind, all your possessions. Take yourself out of Egypt, but leave your money here. You see, that's that same trap that many believers fall into. Satan says, if you want to be that Christian, go ahead and be one. Oh, go ahead and be one, but leave your resources in the world. Leave your resources here. If you want to give God your heart, go ahead. But give your living to the world. You see, Israel's flocks and herds represented their earthly possessions. You see, Pharaoh wanted Moses and Israel to leave all their resources behind. But what did Moses do when he heard this offer? He rejected it. He says, we're taking everything. We're not leaving as much as a hoof behind. I don't know how you can leave a hoof behind and not take the rest of the animal with you. But that's what it says. He wasn't going to leave a hoof behind. We're taking all we have because we don't know until we get there what the Lord has to offer to him. And all we have was given to us by the Lord. It's not for your use. And that's an important statement. You see, what the Lord has given us is not for the use of the world. But you see, it's sad that many fall for this compromise. It's sad that many fall for that. Because Satan wants to try to keep everything that we have invested in the world. That's where Satan wants us to put our resources into the world. You see, We ought to be like Moses and refuse to leave anything we have in this world. God must have it all. You see, God must have it all. He wants everything that we have. He wants our time. He wants our talent. And he wants our tithe. And he doesn't just want that 10%. You see, that's that 10% that we are told that we are to give to the Lord, that first 10. But you see, he wants the 90% also to tell us what to do with the 90%. He wants it all. He wants everything that we have, lock, stock, and barrel. Everything. And you see, when he has us and he has all that we have, God is satisfied. Are we giving God everything that we have? Matthew 6:33 says it this way: seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Don't let the world have your money, your attention, your time, your children. Don't let the world have any of that. You see, that's what Satan is trying to make that deal with so many believers. You see, when we break with Satan and his kingdom, we need to come out totally and completely. When we became believers, when we gave our life to Jesus Christ, when we accepted Christ into our life, we are told that we need to repent and walk away from sin and walk towards Jesus. And that means completely and totally. If we leave any treasure in this world at all, that treasure is always going to tug at our heart. So where's your heart today? Where have you invested in things that really matter? There's a story in the book of Genesis. It's a story of two brothers named Jacob and Esau. Esau is the oldest, and he was entitled to a double portion of his father's estate when his father passed away. He was entitled to take over as head of the family when his father passed away. And one day Esau was out in the field. He was working out in the field, tending to the fields. He was hot and hungry. And he came inside, returned home. And his brother Jacob was cooking soup. Esau went to his brother Jacob and said, "I'd like a bowl of soup." Jacob said, "Let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. You give me your birthright, and I'll give you a bowl of soup." Now, only a foolish person would make that deal. But that's exactly what Esau did. He traded away that which was priceless for a bowl of soup. How many believers do the same thing? How many believers do the same thing? We trade away which is priceless for a bowl of soup. You know, if you're here this morning or listening on the internet, and you're a believer, and you've walked with the Lord for either a short period of time, a long period of time, maybe you're not walking as close to Jesus as you really need to be. We're in a brand new year, 2022. We're still in the first month. What a better time than to go before the Lord as we close this morning and just say, "Jesus, help me to live more for you from here on out. Help me to walk closer with you. Help me to be that believer and Christian and child of yours that you're proud of." Walking close to you. If you're here this morning or listening on the internet and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, well, today is the day that you need to give your life to him. You need to turn over your life to him today. Give your life to him. How do you do that? Well, I'm going to pray a simple prayer in just a moment. And you can just repeat that prayer after me. And if you have a repentant heart and you're ready to turn and from the sin that you've been following and walk towards Jesus and change your life, you can know that you know that you know that you have eternal life and you'll spend eternity with Jesus Christ. That's an alleluia and an amen. Folks, we're living in the last days, whether you know it or not. I have no idea. Lord could come in the next 5 minutes. Could be 5 years. Could be 50 years. We don't know. But I do know this, that it says like in the times of Noah, and if you go back and study, it certainly looks pretty similar. It's pretty similar. We need to take that to heart. We need to live for him, walk closer with him, share the gospel with others, because the time is short. Whether we go one by one to heaven or whether we go as a group, at the rapture, the harpazo. We don't know. But we do know that we need to be out there talking about Jesus and sharing his love.